Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any doctors or any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We are the home of your college football playoffs. I've just been informed, which I should have been informed before, probably, if I'd have read any of the emails from Joe George.
Yeah, right. Joe George literally told us.
We are every college football playoff game will be heard right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Proud? Yes, proud. I can't be prouder of us.
Yeah. So if you're driving around for whatever reason, you're out and about, if you're, hey, I don't want to miss part of this game, you can listen to it here. Friday night, we got Indiana and Notre Dame. And then on Saturday, starting at 11 a.m., we're going to air all three games, back to back to back.
How about that? How about that?
Texas Clemson included in that as well. If you're an Ohio State, Tennessee watcher, be on the lookout for a lot of Rocky Top. Even Ross Bjork is warning Columbus fans, hey, don't let Tennessee invade. Because apparently on the secondary market, like 42% of those tickets have been bought by Tennessee fans.
But also, don't fight them.
Well, he didn't warn them about that.
He should have.
42% on the...
As of 2 days ago, they said 42% of the secondary market.
Columbus versus...
Knoxville?
Versus Knoxville is, and the surrounding areas, by the way. You ain't getting 150,000 in that stadium or whatever they get in there. And also the country.
Yeah.
It ain't all coming from Nash Vegas. There's some other people that make their way to Tennessee games that are hardcore. You're going to have, it's a clash of wills and a clash of culture, Tennessee at Columbus.
That's good football, though. I mean, those are passionate fans. You're going to see some videos from the stands.
Yeah, Molotov cocktails.
And pregame. Possibly. Yeah. You're going to see some. You're going to see
you
some
pregame fireworks. You think Ohio State fan is letting SEC fan get out of there alive if they lose?
I think, listen.
You better
be careful with your SEC. Yeah, hey, Big Ten. Hey, Ohio State. You better be careful.
I like Tennessee.
How you're slinging it with SEC.
Yeah.
All right.
I like Tennessee. Tennessee's got a sporty defense, better than Michigan's defense. And Tennessee's got a sporty defense. They've got their quarterback is a little up and down. They've got a really good run. They've got a really talented running back. Will Howard never has struck me as a guy who's a good quarterback. He's just he's a solid college quarterback who was thrown into an offense with a bunch of top flight wide receivers and did, you know, and wasn't even a Heisman finalist. Like, that's kind of crazy to me. Of course, you had two good running backs in Judkins and Henderson over there at Ohio State, but he didn't put the numbers up that most Ohio State quarterbacks do. And then when he had the big game against Michigan, I thought Will Howard looked terrible. I don't know how he's going to do against Tennessee. I mean, I expect this one to be a lower scoring game again.
I was listening to the show yesterday afternoon. Barry was on with Joel and Brian. They do some kind of, I don't know. Can you believe this?
Oh, I thought you were trying to.
No. Here's an outrageous statement, and I want you to confirm it or something. I don't know what it's called. It's good. It's a good
cash thing.
Cash it, yeah.
Cash it or trash
it. Yeah. Anyway, Brian McDonald wants Arch Manning to start. And
well, that's a trash it.
Well, no, everybody. I think it was cashed.
Well, that's fine. It's not going to happen.
No. Would you rather? I don't think they have a better chance with Arch Manning. I mean, I understand the Texas fan base, but he had a chance to go in against Georgia, and he did the same thing that Quinn Ewers did. He sucked against the first Georgia game. He got two snaps against Georgia this week. If Arch Manning was ready to play and be the guy, then
how hard is it to throw it sideways like Quinn Ewers does, or throw it down to open men running down the field? A lot of Quinn's throws are just play action. You know, he had sideways throws, or he had play action where guys are running free in the middle of the, you know, where you have to throw a layered throw over linebacker in front of the safeties. you know, just throw to space like a Kyle Shanahan offense throw. I don't think Quinn. What does Quinn do that Arch can't do? I'm not saying I don't think I'd start him because you're in the playoffs and Quinn's got a lot of experience.
That's
even though I don't think he's a winner at that level, but like to that extent. But he knows, like, he's gone into Alabama and beaten Alabama and Alabama. He's got some pretty good wins. He's played in the college football playoffs.
Right now, he's better than
Arches.
But
do you think he can make, like, do you see him do something that you think is, like, well, there's no way Arch could do this?
No.
Well, this is that.
But I don't know that Arch will do this.
Yeah, that's the issue
right.
That gets you in trouble. Well, that's why you have your coach making these decisions, because what the argument you're making is exactly what Texas people are saying. Like, if we're watching Quinn do this, How could Arch Manning possibly not be able to do it? And then Sark goes, I'm the quarterback guy. I watch these guys every day. And I'm telling you, Arch ain't ready to do what you think he's ready to do.
If that's what he actually feels.
Then what would keep him from playing Arch if he doesn't feel that way? There's no pressure to play Quinn Ewers.
It's not like
Quinn is the long-term. Actually, it would be the other way around. Yeah, if he had any... He would want, hey, Arch, I want you here for years to come. Quinn Ewers is gone either way.
Yeah, regardless, Quinn can't stay. He would never be the quarterback here next year.
No.
It would be Arch.
No.
So Quinn can't stay. So he's going to go, and he'll go pro. I honestly don't know that you can make an argument that Quinn does anything that Arch can't. But the one guy who would know is not me. It's not Brian McDonald. It's not any Texas fan. The guy who would know is Sark.
Yeah.
Sark would know. And you're kind of right. Like, how does it hurt him if he plays Arch Manning over? What, Quinn's going to be mad?
No, who cares?
I mean,
no.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's actually, he's doing it. He's putting himself out there that Arch will leave because, all right, I've had enough of this. I mean, you wouldn't even play me against a guy over a guy who sucked. He hasn't sucked. I mean, obviously, he hasn't played as well as Texas people want. But
he's not winning the big. He's not winning the big games. He couldn't beat Washington. You had a chance. He couldn't make a play there at the end. Where really it was an improv play where you throw a little back shoulder fade or a stop route to AD Mitchell, and AD didn't have the football IQ to. He and Quinn, if they had been on the same page, you got coverage way in the back of that end zone. You're throwing a stop route, your touchdown, and it's an incredible comeback. He didn't do it. Then he does have the win against Alabama, which his agent reminds me of all the time. But then you've got two subpar games against Georgia.
Yep.
You know, he wins on the road. He doesn't lose on the road typically.
Well, but he doesn't play well on the road. His numbers at home and on the road are – there's a huge gap.
Are there?
Yes. Huge gap. Kirk Bowles brought that out this week. How it was like, wow. He plays – and he's playing at home this week. So that's he's going to probably play pretty well, but his numbers on the road are bad.
We have Josh Pate this week. Yeah, we have Josh Pate today.
He's coming up in 45 minutes. And right now,
Columbia's in the house.
Hi, how are you? Good to see you. I haven't seen you. Yes. Okay. time for me to talk about Gulf Coast Windows and Performer One, the aluminum windows that offer ultimate in strength and durability. To Performer 2, vinyl windows that are the top-tier choice for beauty and thermal performance. Performer 3, hurricane-rated aluminum vinyl windows that feature laminated impacted glass. Listen, you want to save money, reduce your carbon footprint, advance energy benefits. So you're going to save a little bit of money by not going with Gulf Coast Windows right now, right? In the long run, do you know how much money you're going to lose because of your electricity bill? Have you thought about that? Pay a little bit more now because you're going to get the highest quality window that you could possibly get. But save money in the long run because your energy bills are going to be lower. Improve temperature control and comfort. Protect against UV rays. Keep the noise out. Add value to your home. All of these things. There's nothing about the Gulf Coast Windows that isn't premier top-notch. It's the best. So if you're looking for a window, replacement window, I know it's a big-ticket item to replace your windows. That's a big deal. Go with the big deal, Gulf Coast Windows. 713-849-5454 or gulfcoastwindows.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Melissa, you are in the camera.
I was saying.
Melissa from Power.
Yeah, and considering our viewership.
105.3? 105.8. 105.3. Yeah,
105.3. I thought it was 103.5. El Chero and the two Colombian girls.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of listeners know it. It's not how we know it.
Yeah. So anyway, she was just in the camera and our clicks just went through the roof.
She was framed where, like, it was from neck to waist. I was like, oh no.
Oh no. Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. 8:21, Josh Pate going to join us. Our secret lover. Dell thinks he's our secret lover.
It's not that secret. I mean, anyone who listens can tell. It's not very secret.
We have a crush on Josh Pate, yes.
I mean.
Love Josh Pate.
Nicole and Wendy should be jealous.
They should be jealous. They should be jealous because we do have a crush on Josh Pate. We talked a little about Texas and whatnot. Are your feelings about these games? Who's your favorite underdog of the eight teams, of the four underdogs anyway?
It's not a overwhelming getting out on the limb pick because it's 8-9. But Tennessee going in, are they? I assume they're the underdog. I haven't looked at the line.
Yeah, they are.
But going into Columbus, a team probably a little rattled. They've had a couple weeks to get over losing to Michigan and all that came out of that. Your OC kind of peed down his leg.
Ohio State 7.
Are they? That's a lot of points to me. Whew. Are they going to trust Will Howard to throw the ball to those receivers? Because for whatever reason, Chip Kelly didn't against Michigan. He went, let's run the ball, and that did not work. Are they going to let him drop back and go, I know our offensive line isn't good, but the only way we're winning this game is throwing it to our best players. We're going to play to our strength and hope our quarterback can survive. Because if they don't, they get into a game where they're trying to run a ball down Tennessee's throat. I like Tennessee at least to play within that number.
I think I like Notre Dame laying 7 more than I like Ohio State laying 7. Notre Dame plays Indiana.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not sure that Indiana is.
I know ready for this.
Yeah.
I'm not either. At first, I was like, well, Curtis Rourke could play a huge role.
I also think SMU is probably going to run into a buzzsaw here.
Is SMU ready?
Cold weather, Penn State. What's Happy Valley looking like weather-wise? Let me check.
Do we like any?
54 now.
Do we like any of the underdogs?
That game Saturday is raining and 47.
So, yeah.
Does anybody like Clemson? No. Nobody likes Clemson.
No, not really.
I don't like Clemson. I don't like the dogs here. I like the favorites.
Except Tennessee, maybe.
Oh, no, I do. Yeah, I give Tennessee a real chance. I think SMU, just Penn State's got a lot of rush. Aller,
what do you think?
Aller can be hit or miss, but he's been mostly hit this year.
How do you think? I mean,
it will be cold.
The big topic of conversation this week was the portal. Preston Stone left.
He's going to be on the roster, but he's in the portal.
He's in the portal.
Yes, but he will be available if they need him.
So that's
supposedly.
Well, supposedly, but right.
That's my thing right, in my house. I say supposedly, and my kids every single time. Correct me.
Right.
Like they haven't figured out that I'm going to keep doing it.
Exactly. But coaches are pissed about this portal.
Yeah, James Franklin talked about it. Bo
Prabula talked about it.
Prabula is not going to be available, Penn State's backup. For whatever reason, Preston Stone is in. He's going to play if they need him. So I don't know what happened between
Prabula not in?
Sean brought up yesterday because we played the sound from James Franklin about how things need to change. We had a conversation. He didn't want to leave, but he's leaving. I'm not sure why you can look to the other sideline and see their backup available, who's in the portal, and yours decided, or you decided, you came together and decided he wouldn't be available. I'm not sure.
Because
you can't still play.
If your coach allows you to enter the portal, you should be done.
Yeah, but that's not the rule. And so SMU's going to have their backup quarterback.
SMU has their backup, and they don't. That is that. And Pavula actually caught on the field and ran some plays.
Yeah, oh, short and SMU stuff. Behind the scenes, SMU's quarterback, people in his corner holding SMU's feet to the fire for money.
Yeah.
Well, the starter.
Yeah, the starter.
Yeah.
But
well, so I don't think he stays there because Allard announced this week that he's going to stay.
I'm not saying don't go find your spot. But this is a bad time for it, and the coaches talked about how it's bad.
Yeah.
But why? What went about to say Prabula won't be available at all?
And what made him choose this time when you're in the middle of the playoffs and bowls?
It's very selfish to mention it.
Why wouldn't you do it right after all the bowls are done?
You can do it privately because all the teams are going to know anyway.
What's the winter portal dates?
And maybe he had a sweet graphic to unleash.
Chase Fawcett got it done for him, I'm sure. But what are the winter portal dates? Because maybe that was the reason why he had to get into the portal. Because the winter portal, transfer portal dates are from the 9th to the 28th. So I guess he could have held out, and if they lost, then wait till after the game?
Yeah, you could. It's until the 28th.
Yes, so he didn't have – the quarterbacks –
But even still, that's bad because you got the games on New Year's Day.
Yes, it's not good because the two – like the NCAA put that in place, but they don't control the playoff. So they put a date in place that has nothing to do with this event. This invitational that's going on. I'm not sure why they didn't just get together and figure that out themselves between the two entities, but they didn't do it. So this is what we have. But if you are doing the whole no distractions thing, you could wait. I mean, people who need to know that you're entering the portal would know tampering exists. But for the distraction's sake, you didn't have to enter until your season was actually over.
Tampering exists. Did you see the defensive back for Alabama that left? He said, "Well, I got offered a huge deal from another team, so I'm entering the portal."
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What? I mean, he just outed the team for offering a player on a roster that isn't in the portal.
Matter until somebody puts their foot down. It doesn't matter. They've got this offseason. They have to put guardrails. They got to put firm dates. Like you, supposedly there are dates for the portal.
Well, there are dates.
There's not really.
No, yes, it is.
There's not real dates.
Well, you have to be in.
No one abides by it.
Well, no one. The poaching is.
So if you tell me the speed limit's 50 and everyone drives 80, then I don't care about it being 50 because there's no enforcement. There's no police to write tickets.
Well, how do you police tampering? You're checking cells and texts. Who's doing that?
Yeah,
Adam Silver.
That's not his job.
Roger Goodell?
That's not his job either.
No.
So until you get someone who all the entities will agree should have the power, which will never happen in college football, no one's going to say one person should be in power, then it will be lawless. And the fact is the adults are the biggest problem because why would a coach not do it when he knows someone's doing it to his roster too?
Yeah, right. No. I've talked to some coaches that said, "Yeah, you know, I'm trying to be a good guy here, but how can you now?
Yeah.
How can you? You can't. When you look at the phone call of one of your players, and he's got a call from a head coach on another team, and he's offering him money. How can you go?
So
you can't turn him in because there's nobody to turn him into.
This is where we are. The adults are bigger problem than the kids making choices, and they can't. You can't trust them. They can't trust each other, and it'll just keep going until somehow, some way, someone gets some power.
How quick if they went back to a 1 year wait, unless your coach left, if they went back to a 1 year wait, how quick would that shut a lot of that down? Pretty quick. Because if you portaled, then you have to take your 1 year off. Or unless maybe you pay your way out, or if they set something up like that, which obviously the team would do it, whoever's coming in, maybe you pay for whatever,
like a buyout for kids.
I don't know how it would work, but if you limited movement and you said, okay, number one, they should limit, you can't just go, at some point they're going to say you can't just go unabated as many times as you want, because all you do is play into a nonstop free agency.
They don't want to have the employee fight. You want to have the employee fight? This employee's under contract.
I think they really should. See, I think the NCAA is really screwing this up. They need to say you're employees, and they need to allow there to be a union. And here's why I say that. Now you can put collectively bargained contracts on the table where players can't get out. You can do a two-year deal. It'll probably be 2 years. It'd be 2 years at a time where you get a two-year deal. Now, at the end of the 2 years, the employer can also decide if they want to employ you after that. If not, you're in a portal. And that takes away, but you can't have it both ways where you get, well, those kids are trying to get their college education. You can't have it both ways. You're either going to be, this is about a college education, or it's going to be about the athletics. And right now, everything is based on the athletic and free agency in a professional league. So make it like a professional league. Have licensing agreements. Have contracts where you can't get out, just like in the NFL. If you want to sit out, go ahead and sit out, but you don't get your NIL money and you don't get a move. That would actually be more equitable for the teams right now, and it'd be more fair. Yeah. But the idea of there being a union has college football freaked out. The reality is, if you want to slow some of this movement down, get
a collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah. agreement, yeah. and it actually makes things, yeah. it yeah. actually would even things out.
Well, it actually would actually make it actually palatable. It'll make it so that it's a working product. This is not a working product.
No, this is literally the Wild West. Right.
Quick assist now.
Quick that assist, now. Tickets anywhere. You know, one of the things that they specialize in is if it's last minute and you aren't going to be able to go to the game, one of the biggest hassles is trying to get your tickets sold in 24 hours or 8 hours, whatever the case may be, in 4 hours. What Quick Assist does is Quick Assist, you upload, go download the app, Quick A-S-Y-S-T. you download the app, you upload your tickets, and then they will list them on multiple sites, 12 to 15 ticket sites. The biggest ticket sites, the ones you know, FanDuel, SeatGeek, StubHub, Vivid, all those places, Ticketmaster. They'll do all of them. What they're doing is they're maximizing the amount of eyes on your tickets, and then they have dynamic pricing, which means their algorithm will create prices, raise them up and down, very fluid as the market changes. And it's a chance for you to maximize the amount of dollars, but also maximize your opportunity to sell your tickets. Because if it's a soft market, they're going to price your tickets a lot lower to make sure they sell. So if you've got tickets to sell last minute, or if you just want to sell some tickets to any of these pro or college sporting events, Quick Assist is your solution. And they're doing an unbelievable job of getting people their money and doing it in a very, very efficient way. It's Quick Assist, your ticket anywhere. Quick, A-S-Y-S-T.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh Pate joining us in about 23 minutes right here on the show. We have talked Astros baseball, Kyle Tucker trade. We have talked Texans football, the problems with the offense. We've done that. We really haven't. We touched on the Rockets as well. A little bit, talking a little NBA.
Well, can I circle back to NBA ratings? I think there's some interesting things going on here. I don't think it's as cut and dried as the NBA products. Remember that last year the TV ratings were down and they had their highest attendance in history. How do you reconcile the two? If people are not interested in the product, then why are they going to the product and paying a lot of money to go see a product? That doesn't really make sense. Unless you're saying the niche audience is only going out to the state and they're not watching on TV. It's a niche audience and they only go out there and no one else is watching on TV. I think it has to do with the way it's consumed. You know, my kids watch on their phone off of some site that probably Dell uses and knows, something like Crackstream or something like that. These are not measured by Nielsen, I promise you.
Right.
If you want to watch games, if you have cut cords and you don't have the Space City Sports anymore, you know, and you don't have Fubo, so you got YouTube and you can't watch the Rockets, we have DirecTV. We can watch it. But my kids and probably a lot of other people, younger people, they know where to go. They know where to go to stream these games. And I promise you, they are not, and they don't just stream on their phones. They can cast it to their TV and watch it on TV. They do not get gauged by Nielsen. There's a lot of younger audience that is consuming this way. Look at these numbers. Through the NBA Cup semifinals, viewership for NBA games for the league's national partners, ESPN, ABC, and TNT were down 19% over the same period last year. according to Sports Media Watch. And they said, and you know, Adam Silver said ratings are down a bit, but pointed to a broader trend of cable television viewership is down double digits in general. Viewership's also down for men's college basketball 21%, women's college basketball 38%, the Caitlin Clark effect, and the NHL 28%. So they're down in those demographics as well, those sports. And Adam went on to say, we're at an inflection point where people are watching more programming on streaming than they are on traditional television. And it's a reason why for our new television deals, which will enter into next year, every game is going to be available on a streaming service. I think that's a big problem is the streaming is not collected by, I mean, the streaming is not all the streaming is collected by Nielsen. Nielsen is still in the game of, you know, there's basketball games on Hulu right now. That's not collected by Nielsen. That's why I think some of these numbers are off, because streaming is a massive. I know NFL Network, we get all these numbers at our summit. Man, streaming has taken off over the last 7 years. The numbers are astonishing, and I guarantee Wendy knows this too. Everybody in TV knows this. Mm-hmm. It's an astonishing number of streaming, and that's not necessarily captured by Nielsen. So I don't really. Sometimes the TV ratings argument is really not a valid argument because they're not being captured properly. We're not at a place where we're able to capture televisions and streaming on an equal note. And a lot of people catch their sports on streaming. Listen, and some do it on illegal services, by the way.
Listen, Nielsen is the biggest. It is the most inaccurate measure of anything, anytime, anywhere.
But it's the only thing we have.
It's the only thing we have, but it is so convoluted, so awful, so... And I want to tell you, when I grow up, I want to own Nielsen.
Well, it's gotten better. It's gotten better over the years.
Because they spend so little, and they take in so much money.
Well, you have to pay.
You have to pay ridiculous amount of money.
You have to pay to be rated by Nielsen. To have your ratings collected by Nielsen.
And the payment is ridiculous.
And then they sell it for... payment.
It's just the.
It's a little bit of a racket.
It's a huge racket. It's a huge racket. I'm not saying they're a cartel, but
I didn't say you did.
No, I'm not saying.
I mean,
that.
I don't think anyone said you did.
Well, I'm just clarifying.
What type of cartel?
But I want to tell you this:
Colombian,
boy, they got
Mexican?
A gun to your head. Okay, it is awful. Nielsen is the most inaccurate and the worst way you could possibly. It's like counting your money and you go, well, listen, you got $12 over here, but I think that's more like $40,000.
Yeah, it's extrapolating.
Where one
viewer, for example, might equal 150
of
viewers.
Two or more. Or
yeah,
more.
That's being rated.
Because
or more.
It's a minority.
Well, you can't have Nielsen's on every single person's.
Right.
It's not feasible.
Well, you actually could through your televisions. I mean, your smart TVs could absolutely.
I guess
keep track.
You could, but
it's America, and we don't want Big Brother watching, knowing what we watch. That's the whole problem.
Okay,
so that's why it doesn't happen that way.
I can't have a.
What are we watching? It's so bad.
I can't have people know I'm watching Gilmore Girls for 3 days in a row.
Yeah, right.
I can't have that.
How embarrassing is that?
It's embarrassing.
It gets out.
Yeah.
Right?
I can't have that. I can't have them knowing I'm watching Rory and Lorelai have another fight.
How Raheel is watching Friends every day.
It's embarrassing for him.
Yeah, it's totally embarrassing.
Listen to what Silver did acknowledge, though. Adam Silver said the analytics movement has potentially had an adverse impact on the game. Quote, it's not unique to the NBA where analytics start to be too controlling and create situations where players are doing seemingly unnatural things because they're being directed to do something that is a more efficient shot. And part of what we're focusing on, too, is that what makes these players so incredible is the joy they bring to playing the game and the freestyle notion of the game, too. That's the most important part to me. You know, Jalen Green shoots threes because he's supposed to shoot threes, because the numbers dictate that. And even teams who don't lean as heavily into the analytics still lean into it because the game has fundamentally changed. But can you imagine if Jalen would have been a much better fit in – probably 90s basketball. It would have been a little more physical, certain teams, but his ability to get to the paint, come off screens, catch it, and drive into the paint, where he didn't, where he wasn't forced into shooting 7 threes a game. And when I say forced, it's just that's the understanding is no one's benching you for shooting threes.
No.
Ime Udoka doesn't. Ime, guys pull up for threes on fast breaks. They don't finish at the rim. They pull
benching
up.
You.
Ime's fine with it.
Here, take another one. How about go 3 for 15, Fred? That's fine. What?
But in a different right, generation, Fred would not have done that.
No. We got a break because we got to make sure we stay on time. Josh Pate, top of the hour. Zadig Jewelers right now.
Zadig Jewelers right now. Zadig Jewelers right now, coming up on Friday, actually, is going to be a big trunk sale. I want to tell you about something special going on, and it's an opportunity for you to really go get the rest of your Christmas shopping done. If you're a little bit late on your Christmas shopping, they've got the designer trunk show going on December 20th through the 21st. It's Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can wrap up your holiday gifting with fine jewelry that you want underneath the tree for that special loved one. And Marco Basigio, Phillips Hauser, Zadig Collection, all available December 20th. Well, the Marco Basigio is going to be December 20th only. But the rest of them will be there on Friday and Saturday. So go see some of these designer pieces. If you're not into it, but your wife or your girlfriend or a friend's wife or whatever is really, really into it for some of the pieces, why don't you tell them about it so they can get over there? It's a beautiful location. It's a very classy spot, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, with the people who work there are great at consulting and helping you find exactly what you're looking for. But this designer trunk sale is going to take it to another level. So if you're serious about finding that perfect gift, head on over to Zadig Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard this Friday.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, let's get somebody to play Warehouse Live, beat the Warehouse Live guy. He won again this week. It just disgusts me. He just is disgusting right now, how much he's winning this year and not giving away tickets and limo rides. It's unacceptable behavior. And we need somebody at exactly 9 o'clock. You need to call in at 713-780-3776. And the fifth caller is going to play. But not if you can't pick games, okay? Here's the deal. You pick 5 NFL games. He picked 5 NFL games. And if you beat him, you get the limo ride there and back to probably a Rockets game, right? Okay, so because he's got Rockets tickets, he's got lower bowl, great seats, limo ride there and back. What a great night, okay, during the holidays. I think he's got a game for December 28th that he's been trying to give away, but nobody can win it because you suck. Do not lose to Warehouse Live.
So what are the rules? If you've played the game this season, don't call in again.
Yes.
And don't suck, too. Those are the two rules?
Yeah, two rules. Don't call in if you've already played the game this year. And don't suck. Those two things. Okay? I hope. So I got on the plane from Chicago the other night. And I get on and I'm walking down the aisle. And the guy goes, John, I'm listening to the show right now. He's on a plane in Chicago. Jordan. Jordan and his wife. And she's like, oh, my God.
On a podcast.
He's listening to the podcast.
Oh, I was like, what?
He's listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to shout out to Jordan. He says, I'm listening.
So hold on. Goes, you were on a listens. Plane to Chicago or coming
back from?
Coming
from Chicago.
So he was.
And there was another guy on there that had a really cool hat on. And he came up and said, hey, John, what's going on? But Jordan.
Was it one of those hats that has hands on it and it claps when you pull the string? Goes,
no, it wasn't hats? One of those. Oh. It was like a cowboy hat, only more a straight, more a Josie Wales kind of thing. Mm. It was pretty cool. Anyway, he was cool. Anyway, Jordan was listening to the show, and his wife was like, oh, my God, every day, and now you're on this plane. Oh, my God. And I'm like, yes, Jordan. And I wanted Jordan to call in, but he never did. And I hope he does now. Because he and his wife loved, he said, we couldn't stop laughing at you and your wife and your wife's massage that you didn't want her to have Sven.
It's true.
It's Alice. She had Alice instead of Sven. Yeah. That's right. No, ain't no man touching me or my wife, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, no.
You just put it out there.
That's not homophobia or It's like, get away from me with your hands, okay?
Get away from me with your hands.
Don't put hands on me.
Well, a man can't give you a massage and you don't think it's homophobia?
Well, for me, yes, it would be. I mean, I guess.
Well,
you guess.
That is homophobia. You just said it wasn't.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's not really. It's just keep your hands off
me. He doesn't want to be touched by a man.
That's all.
I don't know if that's homophobia per se. You just don't want, you wouldn't want.
It's just gross.
You don't like men touching you, period.
Well, but this is not.
Okay, that's homophobia.
Well, hold on a second.
That's
not in a sexual way, John.
No, I mean, I mean in a massage thing.
Yeah, that's a professional masseuse. There's a lot of professional masseuse. As a matter of fact, football players have a male masseuse too. Not Deshaun, but I mean, in general, the teams hire that too. Big, stronger hands.
What if a guy had told Deshaun one time, hey, what about me? I'm a masseuse.
Deshaun would have never contacted that guy.
Well, no.
He had blocked him. The DMs would have been blocked.
Found out his proliferation towards massages.
Left on red.
Mm. Seen on the seen. In the DMs. Just seen.
No, don't need. No, I'm good.
Like, I don't like being hugged by guys, but that's not homophobia. I just don't. Hey, what are you hugging me for? It's not necessary.
Well, you don't like hugs.
He'll let girls hug him.
No, I don't. Yourself. No, I'm not one of those guys who, hey, give me a hug. Because there are guys in high school who, hey, don't walk away without giving me a hug. I was never one of those guys.
Yeah, that's the move, Del.
I know.
That could be the move.
I hated that move. It was terrible.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it's a creepy move.
It does have a creep aspect.
So I didn't do that in high school either.
Huh. Let's get Larry in here quickly, and then we get to Josh Pate. Hey, Larry.
Hey, real quick. I'll be shocked if Timothy Chalamet and Complete Unknown aren't nominated for Academy Awards. As far as the college football playoff, maybe you can pose this question to your guest when he comes on. What coaches and quarterbacks do you not trust? Ohio State's Ryan Day, the quarterback, Steve Sarkisian and James Franklin, and also Quinn Ewers. I don't know if I trust any of those guys.
I don't know about Sark, but obviously Ryan Day and James Franklin have their issues, so does Quinn Ewers. I could see trust issues on them, but Sark?
I don't think he's got that tag yet. If he loses to Clemson, then that'll change, but I don't think he's there yet.
No, I don't think so. I think Sark's put together a nice deal there. He's put together a nice program. I wouldn't put him in. Ryan Day has got his problems. Ryan Day's got his problems, and so does James Franklin. James Franklin can't beat top five teams. He just can't. So,
some of it has to do with, is Penn State supposed to? Like, if they're playing Ohio State, would you ever think Penn State's supposed to win that game, considering who they recruit?
At some point,
you got to win some of those if you're going to be a top program, right?
Maybe Penn State doesn't recruit to that point. What?
You had them at Penn State this year.
Well, they have them at Penn State every year, every other year, and they don't win. I'm not pushing his responsibility aside, but they don't recruit at a level where they should be beating Ohio State really at any point.
Oh, come on.
They don't.
Jason, you got Odafe Owe is a pro starter. Abdul Carter.
I'm not saying you can name off one guy.
Micah Parsons.
Understood. But
you have some big-time players over there.
Understood, but now do the Ohio State rosters.
Yeah, but what's funny is Ohio State rosters, a lot of them don't end up being good pro players.
That's fine. We're talking about the college level, and they generally produce greater college players.
I would definitely argue that Michigan doesn't have the same talent as Ohio State, and they're beating their ass four straight.
Michigan does
not have the same level of talent as Ohio State.
Well, they didn't this year, last year they did.
Their wide receivers are as good?
Well, no, but they had a better
their
team.
Linebackers have been, their linebackers are okay. Their offensive line
running backs,
is a good
Corum,
unit, but their offensive line are not a bunch of NFL starters at all.
Really good.
Huh?
The defense has been really great.
And their defensive line is better.
Their defensive line is typically better than Ohio State, I guess.
Ohio State offensive line is great.
But it's not necessarily better than
They shouldn't be winning four in
Penn
a row.
Penn State.
They shouldn't be winning four
Penn
in
State
a row.
Shouldn't be,
no, because they're maybe, outplaying
maybe
them.
Penn State should be Ohio,
that's a problem. That's what we're saying. Ryan Day's got a problem.
That's my thing. Penn State should. James Franklin has got to do what Michigan does.
He's not as good a coach.
Penn State is big enough program where they should be winning some of these games.
James Franklin's not as good as coach as Jim Harbaugh, and I would say you just go by the recruiting rankings. Ohio State pretty much laps them.
Well, they lap almost
everybody. That's what it is.
Yeah, but
they lap almost everybody.
But they're good enough to win these
games. No, they're not good enough to win.
Yeah, no, they are.
They have not been.
They absolutely are because other teams
and you know what? That falls on James Franklin.
Why is Vanderbilt able to beat Alabama?
We got Josh Pate coming, and I got to talk about Coors Light. I got to talk about how excited I am about Coors Light, how much I love me some Coors Light. I got to talk about how Coors Light is going to be a big part of my holiday. It was a big part of my life yesterday. It's going to be a big part today. We're playing golf today, and we're going to play golf again on Friday and possibly Sunday. And you know what? Coors Lights are going to be a part of it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it, though. Why? Because I enjoy my life, because I enjoy cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, because I don't want a beer that tastes like it's motor oil. Is that it? Yes. You can have your bitter beer. I don't care. That's terrible. Last night, went and saw Glenn Davis, had some Coors Lights over at the bar he was at, and it was fantastic. You know what? It's just a different deal. You love you, your beer. I love me, my beer. Make your beer. At least try it. Have some in the fridge when people come over, because you're never going to get turned down. You're never going to be no one's going to be sad when you've got a Coors Light waiting for them. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. This holiday season, keep Christmas chill.